Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. This is the Zabecast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go! Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. Thank you for downloading. The numbers are in from the Iowa LSU game, and they are staggering. 12.8 million viewers for an Elite Eight women's game, demolishing by almost 3 million viewers last year's record number of 10 million, give or take. For context, Iowa LSU's number on ESPN on a Monday outdrew every women's college basketball game ever played on TV, every ESPN college basketball game, men or women, ever played, every MLB game last season, every NHL game last season, every MLS game last... Well, of course. Okay, you know it'll be that way. Every NBA game last season except one, and every college football regular season game last year, except one. It's a hell of a number. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark in Iowa and the game of women's basketball, which is having themselves a moment. I did not stick around to watch Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins, not Juju Smith, who I called her that yesterday. I had Juju Smith-Schuster on my brain. Although he did go to USC too, I believe. Don't know what that game did in terms of numbers. Beckers and Watkins are both really good players. Probably better all-around players, arguably, than Caitlin Clark. But she has the golden touch, and people are tuning in definitely to see her. So if Iowa makes it to the title game, then, my God, the number's going to go even higher. Good for the women's game. But let the proxy wars begin now, because the men's ratings have also been at record highs. And on average, when you back out Caitlin Clark, the men's game still outdraws the women's game by 5-1. Now, dare you point this out. People will say, oh, that's well, why do you got to be there? Why do you got to shit on the women just to prop up the men? Nobody's shitting on the women. It's disgusting saying that. And just pointing out, okay, it's great, but let's also not forget the men's game is super popular as well. The men's game is more popular in comparison because it is rising in television ratings to the NBA. And there's a single simple reason why, and you and I know it. The players give a shit. See, that kind of matters to us as sports fans, you know? We want to know if the players actually care. So that's going to be fought over, those numbers, and people are going to take their shots, and they're going to fire back, and what are you saying? What do you mean? Blah, 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 for quite some time. Now, not everybody is necessarily on board this whole train, because Awful Announcing reported that FS1, somebody counted, FS1 mentioned Caitlin Clark 6 times last week during their regular programming, whatever that counts as, FS1's regular programming. You know, their shouting shows, the ones that try to mimic ESPN's. Facts versus Volume, Did Too, Did Not, Oh Yeah, I'm Right, You're Wrong. All those shows that you love so much, so informative. FS1's knockoff copies mentioned Caitlin Clark 6 times last week, and I believe they had a stat that said those same shows mentioned Dak Prescott 142 times. I'm not saying they're wrong. They're probably right in knowing what people would like to hear about, the average male sports fan, but still, that number is pretty staggering. Elsewhere in college basketball, people are bitching about the balls. Apparently, this is now gaining momentum, and it's gaining a hashtag called Inflategate. Several teams, most notably those who are knocked out of the tournament due to poor three-point shooting, kind of let it be known that, hey, I think the balls we played with were overinflated. Now, this is a very touchy subject because not only do basketball players prefer the ball or the rock to be a specific way, everybody's different. And the ball itself is a synthetic combination basketball, which a number of players have said it completely sucks. That it's too sticky, it's light, it doesn't have the same kind of feel as a genuine leather ball. Wilson introduced this ball. It is the, for those who are nerds, the Evo NXT, and they've been using it for a couple of years. Now, is it overinflated? Well, define overinflated. I'm sure they've got digital gauges at each location, and they probably check them all, the whole rack of potential game balls, right before rolling them out. So I don't think they're overinflated, but remember, every team during the regular season gets to provide their own basketballs for the games, and they can be whatever brand you want and, you know, whatever level of wear or usage, some of them being more broken in than others. And I think the NCAA just rolls out a bunch of brand new basketballs and pumps them up according to what's on the box, which may or may not be the preferred number. And it did kind of seem, just watching on TV, I'm like, these balls are really bouncy. Like, there's point guards that have great handles that are losing the ball to eyeball-high dribbles and worse, seemingly out of nowhere. But will anything be done about it? No, probably not. People are going to keep on bitching. How's your bracket? Or at least, how's your final four? I did a quick Google search. How many people still have the perfect final four, which includes the insane wild card run of 11 seed NC State? And I went and I found the first link was at NCAA.com. And they have a story, which is pretty good. It's pretty informative. It has all the numbers I want except for one, which is so frustrating. The story is actually how many brackets correctly pick every Final Four team year by year since 2014. Now, this is only people who fill out brackets digitally online with NCAA.com. And I'm not sure what they give away as a prize, why you would fill out their digital bracket, but that's how they track it. And they said that this year, it was a decently high number, at least compared to last year. This year, there's 297 correct Final Fours. Last year, there was only six, because there was six lunatics in the country that said, let's see, FAU, got it. Miami, that sounds good. How about San Diego State and UConn? Six. I mean, I'm surprised there's even six. This year, it's 297. So it's a lot more, but the one number they didn't include in the article drives me crazy. How many brackets? All they said was, of the millions of brackets submitted, of the millions, plural. Well, just give me a number. Is it two? Is it 10? Is it 100 million brackets? The biggest year for Final Four correct picks was 2015, when 13,705 got the Final Four exactly right. But that was also the year that three of four one seeds made the Final Four. So when you get chalk, you're going to get a lot of correct Final Fours. The number has fluctuated from 51 correct in 2014 to 13,000 to 117 to 46 to 54 to 457 to 396. A big chalk year in 2022, almost 2,000 got it correct. And then six last year and 297 this year. Once upon a time, and I'd love to do this again, but it's, I don't know, nobody seems to want to participate. After you got to the Sweet 16 and everyone's brackets were busted and you kind of lost a bit of interest, we did once a fantasy draft of players remaining in the Sweet 16 for points only. And that was fun as hell, because you had to look at each team, look at the scores, you had to know a bit about each team, and you had to make the calculation of, okay, this guy didn't score a ton, but I think he's on the best team, therefore he's going to play at least one, two, three, four more games, so I'm going to take him instead of this gunner who's likely to be one and done. It's kind of a fun way to do things. DJ Burns for NC State, pretty good basketball player, not likely a pro basketball player. Could he be a pro football player? Peter Schrager of NFL Network says, quote, spoke to and texted multiple scouts and GMs about NC State big man DJ Burns as an NFL offensive tackle prospect. He's listed at 6'9", but probably only 6'7". A-plus footwork, however, would get big turnout and potentially money if he participated in a pro day workout the week after the Final Four. Now, this was posted on April 1st. The first response is, this is a fantastic April Fool's joke, Peter, but I don't think that's the case. I think they are talking about him possibly being a prospect at offensive tackle. We shall see. I love baseball season because it's so long, and fans being, well, fans like to overreact instantly at times. The Cleveland Guardians put out this really creative 30-second ad touting, it begins, the season officially, the journey begins, it's officially opening day, hashtag for the land. And the ad, here, I could play it for you right here. Here's the audio. to have an old Crosley radio, ancient vintage radio.
It is game number one, the season opener, and tonight the journey begins.
So there you go. All right, great. Someone whose handle is McNeil. He follows me. Oh, thank you, McNeil. His handle is at reflog_18. He's listed as, his bio is, America's least popular sports commentator at Big Play Cleveland Show, parody. And he's got 580,000 followers. So he created this remix using different audio, same 20-second visual of the Guardian saying, "Ah, the season has begun. All right, the journey begins. Baseball is here," to this clip from Cleveland Sports Radio.
You don't know squat, you stupid idiot. You're going to tell me you're going to make a judgment on the season after one game in 30-degree weather? That proves what an ignoramus you are. Get off our show.
I just love hearing that. Because I don't think he was exaggerated at all. Remember the kid in Little League in the World Series 6 years ago who had the video of him introducing himself by saying, "My name is Big Al and I hit dingers"? It instantly went viral. Well, he's now lean and still playing baseball, but in high school in Middletown. Middletown where? Jersey. Jersey Sports Zone, Middletown. There could be a million Middletowns. Actually, in 2018, he had that viral video. And guess what? He's still hitting dingers, but he's a lean senior at Red Bank Catholic High School.
"Hi, my name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers."
"Hi, my name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al, and I hit dingers."
Oh, that is fantastic right there. Good for the kid shedding his tubby weight and becoming a lean, mean, dinger-hitting machine. NBA fans can be, well, shall we say, assholes? Of course. All fans can be assholes. There seemingly is more and more of these confrontations with players all the time. Somebody chirps an NBA player. NBA player said, "I'm not taking that shit from you." And then stops in mid, warm up and walks right over to the fan and either gets the security involved to say, "Kick his ass out," or pretty much, sets him straight. Say, "You can't talk to me that way." Well, this week, Russ Westbrook got into it with a guy, a Hornets fan, who was wearing a balloon hat. That's right, a balloon party hat, some little creation made out of those balloons that are impossible to blow up, and tying them up together and making shapes and dinosaurs. Like, on the one hand, you shouldn't have to take certain abuse and certain things being said to you, no matter what. On the other hand, if you look over and go, oh, it's a grown man in a balloon hat, maybe I'm going to sit this one out. It won't make me look any better. Dateline cruise ships. I've never been on a cruise. I don't think I ever will. But you never know. These stories don't help. Aside from the rogue waves, the dysentery, the pirates, the onboard fires, all the things that can go wrong with cruises. Here's a new one. A couple of Australians, along with six Americans, have been frantically trying to catch up to their Norwegian cruise line ship as it makes its way up the western coast of Africa. Now, you might say, catch up. What, do they fall off and they're swimming furiously? They're never going to catch up. No. They went out on a day excursion on one of the stops on an island by the name of São Tomé, and they missed their return time. Now, I've never been cruising, but I understand how it works. They say, okay, we're stopped at this island. Ship leaves at 5 o'clock sharp. Make sure you're on it. Otherwise, good luck. You're on your own. People miss it. In fact, some people on cruise ships that are facing the dock love to get out by their balcony about 10 minutes prior and get out binoculars and or camcorders and say, okay, here come the runners. You see people running to get on the ship. And they've been having trouble, these passengers who are stuck on this tiny island, getting up to the ship because they know where it's going, but they've missed it. A couple of people have missed it. Like, they went to the next port of call and, it's already left. And they're getting pissed off at Norwegian Cruise Lines that they don't alter their schedule to at least wait at the next stop so we can make it there. To which I say, and let me be succinct, fuck you. There's a time at which the ship was going to leave. You're a grown-ass adult. Be there an hour early. Like, what do you got to squeeze every last second out of it? That would get me so triggered. I'd be so paranoid that if my wife was buying a t-shirt somewhere and there was an hour and a half until the ship left and we were a five-minute walk down a side street, I'd be like, no time for this. Let's not risk it. What? We got an hour and a half. It'll take 1 minute. I got to buy this shirt. Nope. Got to get back on the boat. And then there's this headline. Florida transplants fleeing in droves over relentless heat, damaging hurricanes. It was bound to happen, right? The pandemic and the insane COVID policies of the blue states and the Northeast and the lucrative appeal of no tax Florida sent a lot of New Yorkers, a lot of Massachusettsans. How do you say that? A lot of people from that area fleeing down to Florida. Well, now the tide is going back out. Thousands of Florida transplants who moved to the Sunshine State, reports the New York Post, during the pandemic are packing up and moving elsewhere, complaining of the relentless heat, damaging hurricanes, and dangerous wildlife. More than 700,000 people drawn by the promise of sunny weather, no income tax, and lower costs moved to Florida in 2022. 700,000 people, including 90,000 from New York State. But nearly 500,000 have given up on Florida and left in 2022, according to NBC News, which interviewed several disillusioned transplants who decided to head back north. One of them was New Yorker Louis Rotkowitz, who lasted 2 years in the state. Quote, like every good New Yorker, this is where you want to go, the physician told NBC News. It's a complete fallacy. He said he and his wife bought a home in the West Palm Beach area, that's nice, where they decided to pursue a more relaxing, affordable life. He landed a job as an emergency care doctor and his wife became a teacher. But Rotkowitz soon realized they had made a huge mistake. Yeah, I had a good salary, but we were barely making ends meet. We had zero quality of life. The doc said the commute was a nightmare. The cost of their homeowners association fees had doubled, and he felt unsafe after the state passed a law allowing people to carry guns without a license. Oh, my God. A New Yorker who felt unsafe because it allowed law-abiding citizens to carry guns on their person for their own protection. Okay. You know that criminals don't pay attention to laws, right? So it's not any more. Okay. Never mind. Everyone is walking around with guns here, he told NBC News. I consider myself a conservative guy, but if you want to carry a gun, you should be licensed. Well, then you're not conservative, sir. You may consider yourself that, but you're not. There should be some sort of process. There is. You know, the criminals in New York are carrying guns without a license. And of course, the bugs and the humidity and the traffic and Florida. I've never lived in Florida. I like it. I don't love it. I once had a listener really recruit me hard saying, Zabe, Arizona, nah. It's Florida, bud. There's way more places to be that'll fit your lifestyle perfectly. And yeah, it's humid. Yeah, there's thunderstorms. There's hurricanes and stuff occasionally. But guess what? It's better. And he listed all the reasons. I'm not sure I could ever live in Florida. But for those that do, and those who listen, who I'm sure are going to email me, you tell me, was it a hard adjustment if you came there from somewhere else, or was it easy? I do know this, when I talk to people who live in Arizona, who came from somewhere else, usually the Northern Rust Belt or the Northeast, and I say, how long you been here? And it is usually something like 24, 34, or more years. I always jokingly go, so, do you miss home? And every single time, without missing a beat, they chuckle and go, oh, no. I'm done with that life. Hey, have you heard the new deal? If you are a subscriber to this podcast and are willing to fork over an exorbitant $5 a month if you go month to month, cancel anytime, no questions asked. But if you fork over $5 and commit to a year, you get 12 months for the price of 11. And guess what? That brings the monthly rate down to $4.33. Well, what do I get? What do I get for this? Well, I'll tell you what you get. Tell them what they've won. You get Fridays in addition to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And Fridays usually, but not always, include Scott and Solly, my original OG radio partners from the first team on Fox. It's a wonderful reunion for the show that we all wish was still going strong. That's number one. Number two, you are now going to get Monday through Thursday ad-free. How nice is that? And you will get the episodes as they are posted, often, almost always, in fact, the night before. So if you're an early riser, have to download some podcasts for the flight, another benefit right there. There's no reason not to subscribe, but if you don't want to, that's fine. Nothing will change. If you are subscribed, nothing will change. Other than, hey, listen to the Monday through Thursday on your premium feed where this podcast is going to show up as soon as I edit and post, and enjoy ad-free me and Fridays for the same low price you've already been paying. As always, I thank everybody who is a loyal subscriber and supporter of this endeavor. Coming up, my guy, Al Galdi. Al Galdi podcast, still DC-based, so analytic, so professional, so relentless, so polished in his presentation. I love the guy to death. I feel like he's a little brother. We're going to talk wrestling with him per one of your requests via email about the state of WWE and the iconic WrestleMania 40 coming up on Sunday. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Al Galdi joins us, as I promised, and you've been summoned with the bat signal shaped in the WWE logo. WrestleMania 40. Holy shit, coming up on Sunday. And somebody tweeted, when people ask me how old I am, I just like to say I'm 40 WrestleManias old. So is it promising to be a good show? Where are we at?
It is. And it's actually really interesting that we're having this conversation because I was actually thinking about this the other day. So we met, I believe, in 1999, which is like scary.
I know.
How long ago.
We go back a ways, 25. You and I. Right.
Yeah. So we met at the peak of that boom period of the late 90s, early 2000s.
And oh, yeah.
In the ensuing years, I used to tell you, you know, this is what's going on with wrestling, yada, yada. But it was not in a good place. And it had not been in a good place in a long time. Where it is at now is the best it has been since that boom period of the late 90s, early 2000s.
Are you serious? The product?
Awesome.
Vince's product you're talking about specifically, right? Not Shad Khan's product or
no.
The kid's product down there in Jacksonville.
Tony, yeah. Yeah, WWE, because Papa Vince is gone, has become the best it's been in about a quarter century. So it's really great to see.
Wow. Well, I mean, you know, for me, and you know me, I'm a casual, and you know that I still cherish the pay-per-view we went to with incredible seats, courtesy of their PR people, right down near the front, in which the greatest, in my mind, Stone Cold Steve Austin, drove a Coors beer truck into the MCI Center and did the turnbuckle, pour the beers down his throat. I feel like I can die in peace now after I've seen that in person.
That was great. I mean, and that was the peak. I mean, that year 2000 was probably the best year ever for WWE in terms of the product, how popular it was, how into it everyone was, the money that was generated. But what's happening now is like a whole new level. First of all, the TV money now is insane. I mean, it blows away what the TV money has ever been. But the actual creative is good again. You know, you have new ownership, TKO, which owns the UFC. You have Vince gone, so he no longer has his hands in the creative, and so it's being run by Triple H and a few other people, and it's a product now that doesn't insult your intelligence. It's a product that does a lot of long-term storytelling. It's good. It's not geared toward, like, eight-year-olds anymore. It's geared toward, you know, adults and
but
people with jobs and responsibilities. So
but
it's good.
Still PG-13, right?
It is, but, you know, they're starting to teeter. Now, you know, The Rock is back. And The Rock is actually on the board of TKO. And The Rock has been cursing up a storm on TV. Now, they
really
bleep him out. But they are starting to dip their toes into the waters of the Attitude Era. They did an angle with blood. You know, you got to show red to generate the green.
Ding, they ding, did ding.
That. They did that a few Mondays ago. So they're doing things that they had not done in a really long time.
Okay. Part of me, though, likes to have my intelligence insulted, Galdi. So when they would do things like the Rikishi mudslide and the Acolyte Protection Agency, dumb shit that I laughed at, I'm like, you know what? I don't mind this because it's funny. You're saying they're starting to do better things, but it's PG-13 at least, but with a little bit of edge there. I don't know who the stars are. Is Cena still the big star?
No, Cena's being faded out. You know, Cena's now an actor, essentially. But
right.
They have guys like Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes' son. CM Punk is back. Seth Rollins is a big deal. And like I said, The Rock is back. And The Rock has added, like, this whole new dimension to what's going on here.
Okay, he doesn't wrestle, does he, The Rock?
Well, not often, but he's going to wrestle on WrestleMania. WrestleMania's two nights. He's going to wrestle on the first night, so... Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so back in the ring again. Obviously, he works out a bit from what I can see.
Yeah, just a little bit. He looks better at 51 than he did at 31. I'll give you three guesses why.
Oh, skinless chicken and high reps, the greatest Galdi line ever?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so he's going to wrestle again, but he's involved in some of the shows. Is that it?
Yeah, he's been partaking in a lot of the television to build up WrestleMania, and he's been cutting these promos that he's been posting on social media. You know, Rock's very active on X and on Instagram. He's actually been doing these like 8, 10, 15-minute promos that are great and that are like filled with him cursing up a storm.
Really?
And, you know, he's a heel. He's playing a bad guy, and he's killing it. He's doing such a good job. So it's been a ton of fun to watch.
Okay, so sounds like you're back in.
Yeah, I mean, I never left, but I mean, I was down on the product for a really long time, and I was, you know, very open about that. Like, it wasn't good, and I was not alone in that. I mean,
right.
You know, wrestlers openly talked about this, how right. bad it was working there, so it's better.
We saw a job listing once for a writer for the WWE, and I begged a younger Al Galdi to go for the job. I'm like, dude, telling you, apply. I'll do whatever I can to push you. And Galdi would not do it because, not that he was making $1 million in radio, we all wish, it was because you had a obstinate objection with the product. I won't go work for them. I couldn't fix them, is what you basically said at that point.
Yeah, and they don't want people like me, at least at that time. They don't want hardcore fans. They wanted, like, Hollywood writers. They wanted people who weren't familiar with the product, because it's a weird thing. There's, like, a self-hating thing that Vince McMahon always had for wrestling. Like, he didn't like to use the word wrestling. He always liked to bring in people who weren't in wrestling into wrestling, because he like, looked down on wrestling almost. It's like he wanted to get people from outside the business to elevate the business. And so it was a very strange dynamic, to say nothing of they hired and fired writers like crazy. There was, you know, there was zero job security with a spot like that if you got it.
Okay, so who can I latch on to as a wrestler? Give me a guy or two.
Well, I think you'd like the top group, which is called the Bloodline, which is kind of like the modern NWO. It's led by the aforementioned Roman Reigns, who's one of their biggest stars.
Who's the cousin of The Rock? Oh, he's The Rock's cousin. That's the Bloodline there? Okay.
Yeah, and it's good. They've been telling this.
And then Dusty Rhodes would be a Bloodline guy, right?
No, he's the guy fighting the Bloodline, Cody Rhodes, yeah.
Oh, well, but he's part of the Bloodlines of the great, his dad, right?
He is, yeah, right. He is part of a family.
But, all right, so the Bloodline itself is Roman Reigns. Who else?
So it's Roman Reigns, and then it's a bunch of his cousins. So there's this guy, Jimmy Uso. There's this guy, Solo Sikoa. The Rock is in there. And there's a belief that there will be other people coming in.
Interesting.
And you know, there's a lot of, like, interplay between them. There's who's going to turn on who. It's good. It's really good the way they've done it. It's gone on over multiple years, which is another thing. There's, like, a Breaking Bad element now to wrestling, which I always wanted. Ooh. I used to be begging for. I would watch, you know, we'd all watch these great shows, and I would be like, why can't wrestling be like this? Why can't you have, you know, attention to detail and long-term thinking and planning? Wrestling never did stuff like that, and now it's doing stuff like that.
Yeah. You love Breaking Bad as much as I do?
Oh, it's the best show ever, I think.
What made it the best for you?
I think every character had so many layers to him or herself, and you became so familiar with every character, and in a lot of ways, you ended up rooting for every character, even though they would be, you know, opposed against each other.
I did not root for Skyler at all from the get-go. But that's part of the brilliance of it, because on the surface, she was just trying to be a supportive wife, helping her husband with cancer. But just the manipulation and the lack of faith. And then when he finally turned on her and said, "Who do you think you're looking at?" and gives her that speech, "I am the danger." Holy shit, was that amazing. I agree, though, Galdi, the attention to detail. What hooked me about Breaking Bad, and by the way, I didn't start watching it, Galdi, till it was literally over on television, which was a blessing, because I couldn't imagine, after I binged it, watching it and then having to wait a week, and watching it and having commercials for soap in between these incredible, mind-blowing scenes, right? So
it was a show. It, like, stressed you out too to watch it.
Oh,
like you felt like Walter. You were nervous and you were anxious,
paranoid.
Like, it was crazy how it drew you in. Yeah,
right. You go to bed at night going, "All right, is Gus Fring really gonna fuck him? Oh my god!" And you're like, "Wait a minute, it's a TV show.
Yeah.
Go to bed, for God's sakes." What hooked me about that attention to detail was the sound of Walter White's shitty ass pea green Aztec. As the door would close, they made sure the sound guys on that show made sure that it was like a creaky, clanky piece of shit to further hammer home. Look at this brilliant chemist guy, and he's driving a piece of shit when he could be making a ton of money. I'm like, that's the genius right there. So attention to detail is good in the WWE. Storylines taking a long time to play out is also good. and they're killing it financially. So explain to me how they went to this pay-per-view thing where you bought online subscription for their whole library plus all the pay-per-views. Now that's gone and they're back on TV?
Well, no, they've always been on TV, but what they've done now is they've signed a deal with Netflix to where Netflix is going to carry Monday Night Raw starting this coming January. So that's kind of the latest thing. What they did, though, is they went to streaming before basically anyone else did. They started doing the streaming thing like 10 years ago.
I remember that. Didn't people say, oh, boy, look out. This is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, there were questions. And look, initially, they were not generating the subscriptions that they wanted.
Right.
And they left pay-per-view when there was still a lot of money to be made on pay-per-view. They acted like pay-per-view was a dying thing. It wasn't. They were the dying thing. They weren't putting out a product that was compelling people to buy the pay-per-views. But, you know, entities like UFC and boxing were doing just fine on pay-per-view. But to WWE's credit, they've really found their lane now with the streaming to where their TV money, the Netflix deal, it's massive. The TV money, WWE's become like the NFL. The TV money alone now has it as this super profitable company. Wrestlers now are getting paid like never before. It used to be unthinkable for a wrestler to make $1 million a year. There now are plenty of guys doing that. So the business is in a much better place. And you'll be happy to know the deaths have slowed down. You don't have guys dropping dead every 30 seconds now. So that's good, too. The life expectancy is up.
Wait, do you mean in the ring like Bret Hart, or do you mean retired? Owen Hart. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Well, both. But, I mean, for a while, in the peak of that, you know, that aforementioned period of the late 90s, early aughts, okay, the drugs were everywhere, man. And you had guys, you had active guys dying. You certainly had guys who had recently retired died. If you made it to 50, that was like a milestone.
Right.
And things aren't perfect now, but things are a lot better now. You don't have guys dropping dead left and right like we had for way too long.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. And Vince has been out of it for how long?
Well, he left, then came back, and now he's gone again. And I don't think he's coming back this time, not with everything that came out.
Yeah, these lawsuits, these sexual lawsuits are really, really bad. And so he's been out of the picture for 2 years?
On and off, yes.
On and off for 2 years, and it's already getting better and better. Okay.
Much better. And when he came back briefly, it got worse. I mean, the correlation is unmistakable.
You can see it. Okay. All right. So what time am I coming over Sunday, and what should I bring?
Well, you know, it's two nights. It's Saturday night and Sunday night, so you're gonna have to stay the weekend.
Are you having people over, and what do you want me to bring?
Well, and both nights are good, man. So whatever you want to do is good with me because I think this is gonna be a good WrestleMania.
And it is pay per view, duh, right?
Well, it can be, but if you have Peacock, you watch it on Peacock. So
what?
If you're,
I got Peacock.
You can watch it. Yeah.
Fuck yeah! I'm in.
Great.
Is Right to Censor going to wrestle?
I hope not.
Is Lita going to be in this one?
Lita, no.
Are the Dudley Boys going to do anything?
No, I don't think so. Although Bubba Ray is on the radio now. He does a radio show, so you can hear him on the satellite.
Yeah, and soon enough he'll be podcasting like us and everyone else. He'll have a podcast.
Funny how that is.
All right, so I just got back. I'm in Milwaukee this week, opening day for the Brewers, home opener, and it is comically miserable, the weather. 38 degrees, sideways rain. I coined a new phrase today called earhole rain. Because I got an eardrop, I got a raindrop right in my ear hole. I'm like, fuck you, weather. So it's miserable outside, but they've got a lovely retractable roof stadium. And so we at least got to be warm and dry inside. But the walk from the parking lot was absolutely terrible. So I asked the boys that are all natives, I said, what do the Brewers mean to you? And I got a lot of good answers because this team has a real grip on Wisconsin and on Milwaukee. I asked you, as an Oriole fan and a Met fan, what do the Orioles mean to you?
Well, the first sport when I became a sports fan that I followed was baseball. And it went from baseball to football and then to basketball to hockey. And so my first year as a cognizant sports fan was 1987. There was no major league team in the Washington, D.C. area. So the Orioles were that team. And so watching their games and following them. And you know how it is when you're a kid and you get into sports, you become like, you know, obsessed with it, right? And you like, you consume it nonstop. And that was at the heyday, in the heyday of, you know, baseball cards. So there, you know, there was that aspect to it. So, you know, it goes back to when you became a fan of sports. And, you know, my first Orioles game, I remember, you know, I remember being excited to come because school was out, so you could stay up late and watch these games that, you know, would start at 7, 8 o'clock. So it's a special thing in that way. You know, look, the Orioles have not been very good for most of my life. I mean, there, you know, there aren't many playoff seasons. You know, things look really good now, but there were a lot of losing seasons. But it almost doesn't matter. When you're a kid, it's like you don't know any better. You know, you only know what's kind of put in front of you with sports. Right. And so that, you know, that's a special
that
thing.
That was your first. Yeah, it was your first team. Now, for $1,000, and I'm not even sure I should even offer this because you might get it. Give me the Orioles opening day starting lineup. Does not have to be in order, just you have to go 9 for 9.
For 1987?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I don't know if I could do that. I can name you a bunch of guys on the team.
Just throw names out. Let's start throwing spaghetti at the wall. I'll tell you how many you get. Go.
Yeah, so Mike Boddicker
Ding.
Was the ace.
He started.
When I was starting out.
Yep.
The closer was Tom Niedenfuhr. I remember him with a big smile on my face.
That's right.
Obviously, you had Cal Ripken Jr.
Ding.
You had Billy Ripken Jr.
Ding.
Or Billy Ripken. You had Eddie Murray.
Ding.
Larry Sheets. Jim Traber was on the Orioles at the time.
How about the ex-Boston legend who was squeezing out a few more years?
Oh, yeah, Fred Lynn.
That's right. How about the ex-Met who played prominently in the World Series? Ray Knight.
Oh, that's right. Ray Knight was on
Ray Knight started in 1987 for the Orioles on opening day.
That was not a good Orioles team.
But, hey, they were your first team. So the Mets, meanwhile, who the Brewers just slapped around opening weekend, it's so funny watching and reading the New York media already throwing this year's Mets team straight into the dumpster. It is brutal up there.
It's been a very rough last few years for so many different reasons. And the Mets were always a team I followed off, they were like my side chick because my dad's a huge Mets fan. So
yeah.
I actually went to Mets games and, you know, I still to this day talk to him about the Mets. It's incredible to me, though. It's the same dynamic in New York. Giants are to the Jets as the Yankees are to the Mets. The Mets are the little brother.
Yep.
They're perpetually trying to be what the Yankees are, have never been what the Yankees are. You know, there have been pockets of success for the Mets, but there is this thing with the Mets of like, there's this dark cloud over the team, and it feels like what can go wrong does go wrong. There are so many seasons that just unravel. I mean, it happened last season. It's been a constant theme for this team. Even the season 2 years ago, the Mets were a 100-win team, and yet still, you ended that season, if you're a Mets fan, not feeling good about things. The thing unraveled in the postseason. Guys like Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander fell on their faces late in the year. Even when the team does well, there's like this negativity with the team. And even now with the new owner,
well, and that's the thing.
A lot of this has not gone away.
Well, Steve Cohen brought infinity money to the table when he bought the team. And so Met fans thought, okay, we got the firepower to punch with the Yankees. But they're just not doing it right. They threw a bunch of bad money at bad guys, and they have it to start over all over again.
Yeah, and we're seeing in baseball, money does not equate to success. It certainly can help, but, I mean, the last few years, you've seen a lot of high payroll teams not do well. Look, you've seen a lot of teams that do well in the regular season not do well in the postseason. It's become a very unpredictable sport in that way, but spending, you know, $200, $300 million on payroll doesn't guarantee you anything.
No.
The Mets are an example of that.
Ton of teams in the playoffs now with the expanded playoffs, short series, and everything else, so it's a real roll of the dice. Okay, 2 minutes left. I need to put a quarter in two different topics, and then we're done. Very kind with your time. Al Galdi Podcast, get it wherever podcasts are gotten for you, your preferred platforms. You just passed a milestone episode. What number was it?
Well, we just passed a 3-year anniversary.
All right.
We are approaching episode 800 this Monday.
Yeah,
so very
baby.
Special episode.
Love it. Good stuff. Nobody covers DC sports and beyond better than Galdi. So, Commanders quarterback, who do you think they're taking?
I think Drake May, but I don't say that with great conviction. Nobody knows. And you ask 10 people, you get 10 different answers. It's all over the place. The team's doing a good job of playing this close to the vest. I do think that it is close between May and Jaden Daniels. I don't think there's like this obvious guy who you have to choose over the other. But if I had to guess, I'd say May, but that's a guess.
So you think it will be May. If it was up to Galdi, it would be who?
I'd say May. I like a lot about Daniels, but there are things about him that are concerning. And one of the big ones is he runs with this reckless style and he's rather thin. And it, you know, you can't help but think about our friend Robert Griffin III.
Oh, yeah.
And if Daniels is an injury waiting to happen, I don't care how good you are, that's a problem. So there's that. There's some advanced statistical stuff with Daniels that's a little bit discouraging, but there's a lot to like with him. So I don't want to make it sound like the guy's got nothing going for him. He's got a lot going for him, but May feels like a safer pick to me.
And what do you feel the average DC fan wants? Who do they want?
I think there's a great split. I think if it's leaning anyway, I'd guess Daniels, but I mean, I do see a lot of May. So I think it's close to 50-50. I don't know that there's like an overwhelming sentiment one way or the other.
Yeah. All right. Last question. What is Al Galdi's unified Shohei Ohtani theory? The whole thing. What do you think, Galdi, really happened?
I think it's a lot like the PED scandals that baseball has had when you say, oh, my cousin did this, or, oh, I didn't know what I was taking, or, oh, I was taking this to treat an allergy. When they say they don't know, they almost always do know. And I think what people think was the case probably was the case that old Shohei was gambling, which we know a lot of high-level athletes do. I mean, this is not exclusive to him. A lot of guys who make a ton of money gamble a ton. I think, you know, with him, he just did it in a way that ended up coming out.
Wow. So what will baseball do? Would they have the stones to actually suspend him?
Yeah, that's the great question. Yeah. I think this is one of those deals where you want to look the other way and you want to hope that nothing comes your way that's so obvious to where you have to suspend him, because that's a disaster. Baseball has been starved for like big time singular stars, right? You have one in Ohtani and you're going to suspend him? That's the last thing that they want to do.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. Galdi, thank you. Great run today. Definitely check out his podcast. And let's get together and lift a beverage together. You, me, Scott, Solly. Let's get the gang back together. If not for WrestleMania, don't think that's going to happen. Let's at least make plans, okay?
I would enjoy that very much. I look forward to that.
All right, buddy. You're the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
There you go. Man, I was actually nervous there that Galdi might nail my $1,000 challenge. He did get quite a few names, but I'm probably asking him to remember something that he was 10 years old at the time he was going to Oriole games as a kid. All right, we'll end on this. So much bullshit in this sports world we live in the world in general. And there's so much negativity and snark, and I know I'm guilty of quite a bit of it. So let's end on something positive. This was a little nugget by TNT's Ernie Johnson about the play-by-play voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Chris Stewart, and his final call of Alabama clinching their trip to the Final Four. Big deal, right? It's just an announcer calling, you know, oh, and Alabama's going to the Final Four for the first time. No, there's quite a bit more to the story. Here was Ernie Johnson's tribute to play-by-play man Chris Stewart.
Now, I hope you were in our pregame show, because we told a really poignant story, one that really hits you right here, about Chris Stewart, voice of the Crimson Tide on the radio, and what he's been through. Look, a few years ago, suffered a stroke, recovered from that. Then he needs a bypass. His organs start to shut down. They think this is the end, and somehow he survives that. Not only survives, returns to the mic. And tonight had a chance to announce for the first time in Alabama history that the Tide would be heading to the Final Four. And he got that chance.
Oh, Bama. throws the home run to Estrada. Run clock, 2-1, layup good, 1.9 to go. Tigers inbound it, clock hits zero, and let's get out of here and go to the Final Four.
Those are the words he uses so often. Let's get out of here. They are heading to Phoenix.
Yeah,
it's good for the soul, right there. Congratulations to Chris. Congratulations to Alabama. That was big time stuff as they cut down the nets.
That's a hell of a story right there. And a final and one more reminder, as if you need another one. Never give up hope. Keep on fighting. You never know when miracles can happen. Thank you so much for listening. And if you're a subscriber, as I mentioned yesterday and again today, new subscribers. If you're already subscribed, then this podcast appears in your premium feed, which is a separate feed, immediately once I post it the night before, and it's ad-free 5 days a week. If you're not a subscriber, guess what? You get the same deal as well. If you're a freeloader, guess what? Stays the same. This is just more for the people who've supported me, and it's another way to tempt people to go, you know what? I got $5 a month for El Baldo. That ain't going to kill me. I like this podcast here. Have it. And then pat my chest as you tuck the $5 in there. Thanks for listening. Have a great Wednesday. And we will see you next time. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.